This morning, I'll be reading from the Psalms, number 71, chapters 15 through 24. If you are able, you could stand for the reading of the word. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all day long, though their number is past my knowledge. I will come praising the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will praise your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have brought me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to all generations to come. Your power and your righteousness, O God, reach the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. My soul also, which you have rescued. All day long, my tongue will talk of your righteous help. For those who tried to do me harm have been put to shame and disgraced. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Be seated. Now would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now to share my testimony. Amen. So this Sunday, we're on week 3 of our series, Reset. And just to kind of recap where we have been, the first week we talked about Jesus being able to reset our hearts and setting our hearts on those things that are true. And last week, we talked about Jesus resetting our mind, and how our mind works and thinks, and how, when we focus our minds on the love of Jesus Christ, how things can be transcended that are weighing us down in this world. And so this week, we're going to talk about Jesus resetting our voice. Now, it's been really interesting because since we've been talking about resetting things, and I've told you about my garbage disposal, people have been stopping in the office telling me their reset stories. It's pretty interesting. I wonder if the rest of the sermon was listened to, but they remembered the reset story. So I thought of another one that this is kind of amazing to me. But my wife and I, when we came down here, we moved down here from Cleveland, when we bought our house before we got our condo, what I really liked about this is when you walked in, right there was a set of beautiful French doors and beautiful draperies and a valance that looked right out to a balcony. And this balcony overlooked this little lake that was around where our house was. And it was just beautiful. But as we got into the house, we found out that there were a lot of things that were wrong with the house. And it was pretty, pretty frustrating. And I'll never forget one night wanting to go out on that balcony, and I flipped the switch of the light that was out there because there was a fan that went on, and it wouldn't go on. And I was just like, why isn't this going on? And I'm flipping the switch, and I'm flipping the switch, and I'm flipping the switch, and nothing's happening. And so I just start to get really kind of upset, and I'm saying some things about this house that I probably shouldn't be saying, but I'm saying them. Did you ever get that way when something breaks in your house? And I was just so riled up and so riled up and so riled up. And my wife is saying something to me, but I don't understand what she's saying. And so I'm back and forth. And so I finally just look and I go, sweet Jesus, make that light turn on. And it did. And I looked, and there was my wife who had pulled the curtains back, and sure enough, there was an outlet with a reset button. And she said, while you were saying all this stuff, I kept saying to you, John, the button's right there. Sometimes our words distract us. Sometimes our words send our emotions in sometimes the wrong direction. But today, our topic of Jesus resetting our voices. Our target scripture is Psalm 71. And in your sermon notes, this is sermon number one. I want always to remember this one. It says, my mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts. Now get this. All day long. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts, all day long. Isn't that amazing? I mean, who does that? Who proclaims Jesus and Jesus' saving acts all day long? And so that kind of intrigues me. And like I said, with my background in mental health and psychology, I look for things, and I found this. I found this study that was done by the Scientific American, and the study said this, that 60% of what we talk about is one thing and one thing only. And do you know what that is? Anybody? Yeah, ourselves. Absolutely. 60% of what we talk about is about ourselves. And if we add social media to it, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, if we add social media, the number jumps to 80%. 80%. Imagine that. So 60 to 80% of every word that comes out of our mouths is about ourselves. And it's interesting to note that, you know, in our culture that we tend to be a self-centered culture. And so it was very interesting to get those statistics. Now, self-disclosure, talking about ourselves, is absolutely healthy for relationships. Very healthy. But it's good to have the giving and the taking as we're in that conversation so that we're not always focused on us and what we want and how we feel, but it should be this give and take. So self-disclosure, sermon note number three, is absolutely critically healthy to relationships. Okay, so we have this tendency to be self-centered. Well, let's go another study, very interesting study. This was 200 people in the sample, and what they did was they did an MRI of 200 people, and what we wanted to see was, in the brain, is why were people so talking about themselves? Why was it so kind of addictive to just talk about what we want and what we say? And so the people that did this, when they were getting this EEG and MRI for their head, all of a sudden they were told to start talking about themselves. And it was amazing that there was a center in the brain that normally doesn't light up when we're talking. And it lit up like a Christmas tree. And so scientifically, when we talk about ourselves, the one area of the brain that gets lit up is, anybody have any idea? What happens when you really have a good meal? That was really good. What happens? The word is pleasure, you know? It's like when you have that good meal and you're feeling good, or other things that cause us pleasure. And so what we found scientifically was that when we're talking about ourselves, not only do we have a tendency to be self-centered, but our brain actually puts talking about ourselves, connects it to pleasure. So we have a really, really daunting task ahead of us if we talk about Jesus resetting our minds and our voices today. Because is it really possible for us to proclaim the works of the Lord all day long. So these two research things were very interesting, and all I'm suggesting is that this is because our society is so very adept at self-centeredness, and because it feels good when we disclose about ourselves, it's going to take sometimes a serious effort for us to look at talking and praising Jesus and telling of his glory, because we have such a tendency to want to do that about ourselves. And so there's a big disconnect here. But I believe that we get this in Psalm 71. We get that beautiful verse that says that this effort is possible. And we know that through the life of Jesus Christ, that he's given us the power, he's given us the voice to proclaim the goodness of the Lord, to do that. And so in Psalm 71, once again, we hear that, my mouth will tell of your righteous deeds all day long. All day long. And it follows up with this in the next line. It says, you know, I may not understand all these deeds. I may not process all these deeds, but I'm going to proclaim them, Lord, because this is what you have shown unto me. This is what you have given unto your people. And so, you know, when your heart, sermon note number four, when your heart has been oriented towards Jesus and your mind has been repositioned toward truth, what naturally follows then is a reset voice, is a reset voice. I want to turn to Matthew 12:33. Let's just listen to what Jesus says when he's talking to his disciples. He says this, make a tree good and its fruits will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruits will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. And then he has this real strong statement. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? Listen to this. For the mouth speaks of what the heart is full of. And we're told that a good man brings good things out of the good things that are stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. And then Matthew gives us this. He says, for by your words you will be acquitted. Talking about that judgment day, by your words you'll be acquitted. And by your words you will be condemned. So we know that Jesus had a lot to say to his disciples about the things they spoke, the way they've spoken them. You know, and we all know at times when, you know, we have emotions, maybe we get angry or upset, or maybe we're just not feeling well, and we say things, and then we realize what we said we can't take back. And so I think that this is a time in our lives where we have to kind of always remember that our words are so powerful. And sometimes when we are dealing with these kind of things, we need to rely on Jesus, speak his words, speak life, speak light, and we'll see that this amazing thing. So sermon note number five is, when your heart is full of Jesus, Jesus will show up in your words. When your heart is full of Jesus, Jesus will show up in your words. So I do a lot of traveling actually throughout the year. And, you know, I like to take either really early morning flights or I like to take very late flights. And often when I've done traveling, there's been some times where I've done a trip in one day, like went down at 8 in the morning, got there and came back at 7 or 8 at night. But one of the things is when you do a lot of traveling, as many of you might do, you notice a lot of things and you notice a lot of people, especially when you're on airplanes. And I got to tell you this story because it was just so, so amazing to me. So I was sitting in the row ahead, but right in back of me was this businessman, and he was on a business trip, and you can tell he was really tired. We were coming back, and people were getting on the plane, and he says to the stewardess, he says, you know, if there's a row that's empty, I know this is a late flight, and I can just move there to kind of stretch out. I'm really tired. I just really want to stretch out and rest
It's going to be a 2 or 3 hour flight. And so she said, well, just go to your ticketed seat. And then once everybody's on the plane, we'll see what happens. Well, what happened was he got into the seat and he was in the window seat. And right next to him was a young guy, probably 19 or 20, probably just been out of basic training, looked very, very, he was dressed in his army fatigues, and he was just very, very, worried, had a panic look on his face. And as the businessman was sitting next to him, he kind of talked to the guy, and the guy said, well, he was being deployed to the Middle East, and he was nervous about how the experience would turn out, and just kind of expressed his anxiety. Well, at that point then, the stewardess came to the man and said, you know, sir, we've got row here that's totally empty. You can go. So the businessman got up and he said to the young gentleman who was in the military, he said, you know, he said, good luck to you, and went back to his seat. And then about 30 seconds passed, and that man came back, and he said, excuse me, to the young guy. He said, do you mind if I sit back here? And as he sat down, he said, I'd really like to talk with you. You seem like, you know, you're anxious, you're stressed. Found out the guy himself had been in the military. And what he began to do is he began to talk about his faith, about Jesus, about when he was deployed, how his prayers, the love of God, what he focused his thoughts on, carried him through, how it blessed his family. It was pretty, pretty amazing. And the way that it ended up is they ended up praying together. And, you know, I mean, I'm in the seat like this, constantly doing this, which wasn't the good thing to do. But I was just amazed. And I'm thinking, I'm the pastor. I should be doing that. I was comfortable, but it was amazing. And, you know, it just kind of got me that, you know, that we have opportunities like that. And sometimes we just get prompted to get up and walk away, and we don't even think about the opportunities we have to share Jesus, to share the love of Christ, to share his redeeming words. I mean, think about it. What a witness, what a testimony to that young man that someone took the time to listen and pray with him. And someone, that someone was someone who also served and who also had those same experiences when he was 18 or 19. That is amazing. And that is what I call a reset voice, speaking the truth about Jesus and love. And so sermon note number 6 is this. When we trust truth, when we take in truth, we inevitably start talking about truth. Let's do that again. So listen, when we trust truth, when we take in truth, then we're going to talk about truth. And that is with our faith life. You know, if we really trust in Jesus, if we take in the truth that he gives us about his life and his love and about our salvation, then we're going to start talking about that. It's going to move us. It's going to circumvent all those things in our brain that want us to talk about ourselves, to talk about the love of Jesus Christ. You know, Scripture says the mouth speaks is what the heart is full of. What the mouth speaks is what the heart is full of. And I will tell you this, is that when your heart is full of Jesus, Jesus will show up in your words. Now think about that again. When your heart is full of Jesus, Jesus will show up in your words. And you know, it's interesting because Jesus doesn't ask us to do things that he himself didn't do. And so sermon note number 7 is, what Jesus said we should do, he did. He did. And so when we allow Jesus to reset our hearts and mind, don't be surprised when you allow that to happen that you are called to speak up for God. So there's 2 takeaways I want to focus on. The first one is this. When we trust truth, once again, which is what we looked at in week 1 of this series, when we take in truth to our minds, which was last week's topic, then today Jesus will show up in our words. Jesus will show up in our words. But two takeaways for today is this. We start looking about, you know, being these people that can proclaim the goodness of the Lord all day long and his saving acts. But the two takeaways that we have are this. First one is this, is if we allow, or we have allowed Jesus to reset our hearts and our minds, don't be surprised when you're given an opportunity to speak up. And you see, that's what happened to that guy on that plane that day. You know, Jesus had reset his heart and his mind, you could tell. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised that God gave him an opportunity to speak up to that young man. God gave him that opportunity. And when we get those opportunities to speak up for God, we shouldn't be shy about seizing them. Sermon note number 9. So when we get those opportunities to speak up for God, don't be shy about seizing them. If you ever walked away from a situation and you thought, wow, I wish I would have said this, or I wish I would have said that. Sometimes God works in us, and God has, he plants that seed in us gives us this opportunity, and we should seize it, the Bible says. Not take it, but seize it when you think about it. When you see it, grab onto it, because God is positioning you and positioning your voice to be oh so powerful. And so the two takeaways, don't be surprised when you're given those opportunities, and don't be shy about seizing them. You know, Jesus said some miraculous words, and like I said, sometimes we, because we're self-centered, or we, because it feels good in our brain, we get distracted about things that we want. And like I said, you know, sometimes we say things and do things that just, once they're out, we can't get them back. And sometimes, you know, they're just, our words can be so powerful, this can be so deflating. And you know, we have this tremendous power that's inside of us to bless and affirm. And sometimes, like I said, we will go to the negative. You know, it's amazing if you think about it, maybe the things that people have said that have hurt you, those probably come to mind like this, don't they? They probably just all flood. I know for me, there's one thing that just really, 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 really deflated me once. And I was serving a church, and we were coming up on Veterans Day, and we decided that we were going to put together a slideshow of all of our veterans. And, you know, we had their picture when they were serving, and we had their picture where they were, how they look now. And so the whole service, you know, we talked about veterans. And then during the prayers of the faithful, I not only talked about veterans, but I talked about first responders. And we had everything up on our screens, and it was absolutely beautiful. It was a beautiful tribute. We prayed for God's blessing. And at the end of church, people were walking out of church and, you know, just saying, "Wow, Pastor, we appreciate your effort doing that and getting that going. It was awesome." And this one man came up to me and just looked me straight in the eyes, and he goes, "How dare you?" And I was really taken back. He goes, "Who do you think you are?" And he goes, "How dare you put a policeman and a fireman in the same picture where there's a military person?" And it was a slide of 9/11. Those words came out, and he kept doing this, and I just felt my whole spirit just. But you see how that does? There was a powerful moment there, I guess, for everybody in church, and they were talking about the goodness of God and how God has blessed families and blessed the families that lost loved ones, and then all of a sudden I get that, and it just deflated me. I just felt, and then I had to go back to God, and I had to say, "Lord, it's not about me, it's about you." But we have to be careful about our words, and I'll tell you, one of the biggest places is we have to be careful about our words that we speak when we're in the presence of God's people. Very, very important. Because when we look at Jesus, when Jesus was in the presence of God's people, He spoke life. He spoke truth. He spoke love. He spoke kindness. He spoke forgiveness. He spoke restoration. He spoke healing. He spoke peace. He spoke joy. He spoke hope. And he himself spoke about these things. It was interesting because when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about some of the highlights of the Bible where Jesus spoke with that voice. Remember when the winds and the waves were crashing? Jesus said this. He said, "Peace, be still." He didn't say, "Stop acting like children." He said, "Peace, be still." To Lazarus, when Lazarus was dead, he spoke restoration. He said, "Come forth. Come forth." Those words of life. To Nicodemus, now that was the guy that, you know, wanted to be a follower of Jesus, but would only come around him in the night and didn't want everybody else to know that he was interested in being a follower of Jesus. And Jesus said this to them. He said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that born again can happen. And your life can have purpose." There was a lawyer, and Jesus spoke these words to the lawyer. The lawyer, remember, when they asked him, "What's the most important thing?" And Jesus didn't say it was himself. He said to love, love, love. Love your neighbor as yourself. There was a man that had a withered hand, and Jesus spoke healing. He didn't laugh at the man. He didn't judge the man. He didn't walk away from the man because he had a disability. But he spoke love and healing. And to his disciples on that day when they were up in the room, the upper room, after he had risen, and you can imagine what that upper room was like, and everybody wasn't saying the truth about what Jesus had told them. Everybody was doubting. Instead of chastising them, he appears in that room and he says these words: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid, because I am here among you." And today, to all of us, he says this: "Take heart. I will come for you. I have a place for you in my kingdom." And Jesus, speaking truth of peace and love, he did these, and now he asks us to do the same. So let's remember those two takeaways about a reset voice. Number one is when we have our heart is focused on the truth, our mind is focused on the truth, then our words will speak of the truth. And then, like I said, once we allow that to happen, once you pray to Jesus and you say, "Lord, what is it that you would have me talk about today that I can show of your love or tell of your love or proclaim your kingdom?" When we have that mind, God's going to give us opportunities. And that's the time when we have to take those opportunities. And remember the word I used: seize. Seize. Take it captive. Grab a hold of it. So don't be surprised when we are asked about this. And I want to end today by looking at the book of Ephesians 5. Paul says in this, and these are very good words for us that we get, and this is sermon note number 10, but Ephesians 5 says this: "Be very careful, then, how you live," the text says, "not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." So say something worthwhile today and let yourselves be known as people with wise words. And later in that same passage of Ephesians, it says this: "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit." Words of encouragement, the right words at the right time. It likens us to the right words at the right time. And so as we leave today, I would say this. Say something today to someone that is forgiving. Say something today that is caring. Say something today. This is a good one. Say something today that is encouraging. Say something that is loving. And say something that is hopeful. Hopeful. And so in closing, I just want to say this to you is nothing is riskier than letting Jesus control our words. But nothing is more satisfying than speaking up for him. Think on that. When that man spoke to that airman, nothing was riskier than that. That was a risk. Is he going to tell me to shut up? Is he going to tell me to go away? Nothing's riskier. Sometimes we get in those positions. But nothing is more satisfying than speaking up for him. One closing story, and this is something that happened this week, and I just praise God for the things that he does. So in my waiting room, I have a gentleman that comes to see me, and he passes out gospel tracts. Anyone receive a tract, ever get a tract? Everyone ever pass out a tract about salvation, whatever? And, you know, he passes these out, and he usually gives them to people, and he'll say, Jesus loves you. And a bunch of times, the building that I rent my space in, I've been told, you know, you really need to stop him from doing that. It's bothersome to people. You know, this isn't a religious type organization, the whole thing where you're renting space at. And I've just kind of dodged it because, you know, I just believe about the power of speaking love for Jesus Christ. And, you know, the guy came in and he said, John, he goes, I think I'm done doing this. He said, it's getting you in trouble. It's getting me in trouble. And I said, don't stop. Came in a couple weeks later, left. Next client came in, was a guy who's about 57 years old. Came in and he said, Johnny says, I want to take my life. I don't want to be here. There's nothing in my life. He said, but something did happen. I said, what was that? He said, you know, as you were calling me back, he said, some guy in the waiting room came up to me and said, Jesus loves you and gave me this. And he said, it's like this fog lifted off of my mind. And I was like, glory to God. Do you see? When we speak the truth, God gives us opportunities to speak for him. And all the negativity that was surrounded that, and that guy still spoke up for Jesus. And I don't think he'll ever know, because we have to be confidential, he'll never know what he did for my client that was feeling suicidal. It's amazing. You have an incredible power. We have an incredible power. Let's use that power with our voices to glorify the Lord and seize the opportunities he has for us to change this world and give everyone the opportunity to have that good news for bad times. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to examine things like our heart and our minds and today our voices. God, I know we've all been there. We've all been on the receiving end. We've all been on the giving end of saying things that were hurtful to us or things that hurt others. And God, we just pray that you challenge our hearts today to seek that truth, that you would help us reset our minds as we look about what it really is to love and to serve you in this world. And Father, I pray that Faith Community United Methodist Church, I pray that we are a church that will seize the opportunity to share your love, to spread your salvation, and to bring all unders unto you. Lord, we pray this. We pray this in your most precious name. Amen.